dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas, and Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. And who better to talk about matters of intelligence with than our first guest? He is former Congressman Pete Hoekstra. He served as the chairman and ranking member of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence during a distinguished nearly 20-year career in the United States Congress, representing the people of Michigan. He is now associated with, I'm very pleased to say, the Investigative Project on Terrorism here in Washington, D.C., and very much engaged in the national security fights of our time. We're delighted to have you back with us, Congressman. Welcome.
Frank, it's always good to be with you. Thank you.
I just want to take stock with you on a number of different issues, some of which have more to do with intelligence, some of which are just very important to the national security. Could we start with Putin's latest play for what seems to be a reprise of his takeover of Crimea in at least parts of eastern Ukraine? What do you make of what he's doing, and is it evidence that we're not doing enough to respond?
Well, I think, you know, this is very, very obvious. Putin sees weakness on behalf of NATO, Western Europe, and the United States. He has a vision of a much larger and a much stronger and influential Russia. And he will keep pushing, whether it is in the eastern Ukraine, whether it is in the Middle East, whether it's in Central and South America, whether it's financial. You know, he's going to push all the levers he can to reestablish and restore Russia to the greatness that he believes it deserves.
You mentioned the kind of economic aspects of this. There has been some reporting, particularly out of the mouthpiece of his regime, Voice of Russia, that he's intent on pursuing much more aggressively a long-standing agenda of attacking the dollar, going after its unique status as the world's reserve currency. Do you anticipate that coming, Congressman, and how serious a problem would that be for us if it were to succeed?
Well, I think if Russia, you know, solely attacks the integrity of the dollar, it gets to be a lot of bluster with no impact. Behind the scenes, you know, as people see Russia do what it can to attack the dollar, and then the Chinese or some other countries join in that effort, it could be a significant impact. But I worry about it, but I don't see that as the priority threat right now. I think right now he's looking for spreading Russian influence into parts of Europe and parts of the former Soviet Union.
I take that point. I just worry that one of the things that may be part of his retaliation for whatever we decide to do might be this kind of flanking maneuver, and I just want to make sure people are alert to it because it could be quite problematic.
I think you're absolutely right, Frank. I won't argue with the point that it's a possibility. I don't think it's at the top of his list right now.
One other place in which the United States has responded to the aggression in Crimea is by cutting back on contacts between NASA and the Russian Space Agency. Congressman is a man who's long covered and attended to our space activities, particularly in your intelligence-related portfolios. What do you make of the fact that we are as dependent as we are on the Russians at the moment, particularly for manned access to space and for some of their booster rockets for our missiles? Is this advisable, especially in a circumstance like the one we're in with them at the moment?
Oh, it's absolutely inadvisable. It's unbelievable that we put ourselves in this position that, you know, the United States can't send supplies for astronauts to the space station without really Russian cooperation. It's unbelievable. You know, where we used to lead in space, we're now dependent on the Russians. But, you know, what surprises us about this? I mean, this is an administration that has allowed us to fall behind not only in space. We have our allies in Europe who have allowed themselves to become dependent on Russia for natural gas for its energy supply. And we have a president who recently, 2 weeks ago, said, it's not that important to control the Internet anymore. We're going to give that away as well. It is unbelievable that in these areas where America has led, that we are giving up willfully our leadership positions. And this is not only a strategic national security issue, it's also an economic issue. When we give up our leadership in each of these areas, it weakens us from a national security standpoint, and it weakens us economically.
You've said that very well. I've sort of, as we've talked about, I think, in the past, distilled down the Obama doctrine to 9 words, embolden our enemies, undermine our friends, and diminish our country. And you've just ticked off a number of places in which that diminishment is taking place. And it is for very profound strategic, political, and economic implications, I think. Let me turn to another issue that we've touched on in the past, just to get an update from you on your current thinking, Congressman. The Senate Select Committee Intelligence, your counterpart committee when you were in the House, has just begun the process of releasing. They now have to get it declassified by the executive branch, but a massive report on alleged torture and other misconduct during the Bush years. You and I have discussed this in the context of the fight that was taking place a couple of weeks ago between Dianne Feinstein, chairman of that committee, and John Brennan, the director of the Central Intelligence Agency. That seems to have settled down for the moment, at least. Talk, if you would, a little bit about this report, the fact that the Republicans on the committee seem not to have joined in it, and where do you think we go from here on it?
Well, I think the first thing on the report, it appears that it's going to be an incomplete report. Not only did the Republicans not participate in it, but at least the initial reports are indicating that they didn't even talk to or interview the people that were in the executive branch, that were in the CIA, that administered these programs to see whether the enhanced interrogations actually worked. Frank, I would agree that doing an analysis of what interrogation techniques worked and did not work would be a worthy discussion. We will have more challenges like this in the future. We should be doing a lessons learned, but it should be a thorough and it should be a bipartisan effort. It should not try to go back and pin the blame on, as Nancy Pelosi tried to do over the weekend, saying, it's all Dick Cheney's fault. That's not constructive.
That prompted your successor on the committee, Representative Mike Rogers, to warn that this sounded like it was going to result in the politicization of this report. Is that your reading, Congressman?
Yeah, it is, and that's not going to help us at all. It's going to take us back. It's going to take us backwards. And from my perspective, the amazing thing here, Frank, is that Nancy Pelosi was briefed on this program, and she signed off on it when she was the leader of the Democrats in 2002, 2003. She knew about this program. She knew what they were going to do. And so, she takes as much responsibility as Dick Cheney or anybody else. The other thing is, I was thinking about writing something on this. The bottom line and what people need to recognize is you can't sanitize and make war and make it be a feel-good exercise. War is hell. Enhanced interrogation techniques, they may be ugly. We just need to know whether they work or not. But at the same time, we have a president now who is using drones and has used them over the last 5 years to an extent well beyond what the former President Bush and Dick Cheney ever envisioned using drones. Plus, he's been targeting Americans and killing them. The bottom, war is hell. It is ugly. Let's not try to sanitize it. It can't be sanitized. Let's just figure out what works and what doesn't and how we get and how we keep America safe. This report, I don't believe, is going to help us achieve those objectives.
A tremendously important point, Congressman Pete Hoekstra, and it leaves me with this one observation. The difference, of course, between at least trying to interrogate some of these folks and killing them is that the former offers at least the possibility that you will extract from them information that will be central, maybe even material, to the prosecution of the war against them. Killing them may take them off the battlefield, but you lose that information with them.
Yeah, remember, enhanced interrogation techniques, and I think Republicans and Democrats, everybody agrees, were used on three people in the immediate aftermath of 9/11.
Congressman Hoekstra, we have to leave it at that. Thank you for your continuing service to our country, sir. Keep it up. Come back to us again very soon. Next up, Joseph Humeyer on what's going on in Venezuela and what the Iranians are doing there. What it might mean for you, straight ahead.
Listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.